This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
So, yeah, that's the big news of the day, clearly, is that 25% tariffs on all cars not made in the U.S. The president says that he also said he thinks Signal could be defective. Is what he said, which, you know, Signal is going to obviously respond to that. In fact, Matt, just kind of scan that for me and see if they have responded to anything the president has said regarding their company. But let me play this clip for you. This is Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary today, who wrecked the Atlantic for their sensationalist reporting. And this is what he said, cut 31.
Nobody's texting war plans. Well, I noticed this morning out came something that doesn't look like war plans. And as a matter of fact, they even changed the title to attack plans because they know it's not war plans. There's no units, no locations, no routes, no flight paths, no sources, no methods, no classified information. You know who sees war plans? I see them. Every single day. I looked at them this morning. I looked at attack plans this morning. You know who does attack plans and war plans? Men like that admiral right there, Paparo, for the Indo-Pacific. Or Eric Carrillo, our general in CENTCOM. They do attack plans and war plans. And thank God we have those leaders who do it and do it well, and our enemies know it. My job, as it said atop of that, everybody's seen it now, team update. Is to provide updates in real time. General updates in real time. Keep everybody informed. That's what I did. That's my job. The war fighters will take the fight to the enemy, and I love what they do. And with President Trump's leadership, our enemies are on notice. We will have peace through strength, and we'll keep putting our troops first.
Okay, now, in response to that, The Atlantic ran a piece at 8:19 a.m. today that says, here are the attack plans that Trump advisors shared on Signal. And then they went on to post more of the exchange between Pete Hegseth and the other people in the group chat. So, look, you know, I mean, my philosophy on this stuff is I think the right way to handle this was handled the day the president was in the cabinet room and he said that, you know, this was a mistake and we're not going to do it again. We'll find a better way to communicate and then end it. And that should have been the last that was said of it. Unfortunately, people started attacking the reporter and then they just kept giving the story oxygen and kept giving the story legs. You know, if I were there in the room, and I'm obviously not, but if I were there, what I would have said to everybody is, this, we don't talk about it after today. And all we say is we've acknowledged it was a mistake. We're looking into it. We're going to make sure it doesn't happen again. Going forward, we're going to find a different way to communicate. We'll get back to you about what that's going to be. And don't keep going down this road of attacking Jeffrey Goldberg and making it about him. Shooting the messenger doesn't change the story here. He may be a slime ball and a loser, but, you know, unless he found a way into this conversation, it's, you know, it's not on him that he's there. So he did. I mean, if I were accidentally added to a Biden chain with his Secretary of Defense talking about something, I'm certainly going to stay and watch and report back to you about it, obviously. Yeah, I'm not a reporter, but I'll give my opinion back to you on it. So that should have been how this whole thing ended. It should have just ended when they had the cabinet meeting the other day. I thought they handled it very well. The president said it was a mistake. Mike Waltz acknowledged a mistake. And, you know, that's it. And then don't say anything else. All they keep doing here is they keep just feeding it and giving it more oxygen. And I wish they would just stop talking about it. And, you know, just acknowledge, yeah, look, you know, we use this secure app. It's not nearly as secure as we thought it was going to be. And so we're learning from that and we'll use something different going forward. So, you know, that's the best way to get out of these situations without just doubling down. And then you have the reporter then come back and say, oh, really? Well, here's more stuff, you know. And the other part of this, too, that I think is really interesting about this whole thing is that nobody outside of Washington is really going to care about this. Honestly, this is, again, one of those things where in the Beltway, yeah, this is a big deal. The average person outside of this in America, all they want to know is did anybody die? Anybody? Everybody safe? Everybody good? Good? Yeah? Okay, great. So there was some chat and the reporter found out about it. And okay, I'm busy. What are the price of eggs? You know, what are the price of eggs? What's the price of gas? And, you know, how are the tariffs going to affect my car prices? That's the truth. Outside of Washington and the bubble and the Beltway and the chattering class, nobody cares about this stupid story. So then stop talking about it. You know, like, end it. Enough. Don't devote a lot of time to it at the press briefings and everything. Asked and answered. It was a mistake. It was a mistake to use the app, communicate by the app. We're creating a new app now. We'll have something for you soon going forward. Lesson learned. What a great lesson, learning lesson for us. And thank God the mission was successful. And next question. And then just keep repeating that. You know, there's no reason, zero reason to go after the reporter. To just keep engaging in this back and forth. That's it. Like, let it go. Let it go. And I think, you know, the problem becomes the press is more than happy. All of them. Not just the legacy liberal corporate media, but they're all more than happy to keep writing about this story. It gives them something to do. So if you keep feeding the beast, they're going to keep writing about it. They keep giving it oxygen. They're going to keep talking about it on the shows, and they're going to keep. I honestly thought as of yesterday, this thing was done. I thought it was done, and it was just going to be a one-day, two-day story at most. And now the people that are speaking from the administration's perspective are the ones who keep it going, not the president. I mean, the president said today in the Oval Office, he goes, "Well, I don't really know. You got to ask them." And you know, I don't know. Maybe signal's defective. I don't know. But they took responsibility for it yesterday in the cabinet meeting, and then Mike Waltz took responsibility, and then I thought it was over, and that's it. So, you know, going after the reporter and everything else isn't going to help the situation. This is what Caroline Levitt said regarding that today. Cut 35. Yeah, 35.
Our country,
guys.
This administration is working hard on behalf of the American public every day, but the mainstream media continues to be focused on a sensationalized story from the failing Atlantic magazine that is falling apart by the hour. Here are the facts. The National Security Advisor has taken responsibility for this matter, and the National Security Council immediately said, alongside the White House Counsel's office, that they are looking into how a reporter's number was inadvertently added to this messaging thread. We have said all along that no classified material was sent on this messaging thread. There were no locations, no sources or methods revealed, and there were certainly no war plans discussed. The Atlantic has even admitted this themselves. Their release of these internal messages validates the truth, which we have been saying all along. If this story proves anything, it proves that Democrats and their propagandists in the mainstream media know how to fabricate, orchestrate, and disseminate a misinformation campaign quite well. And there's arguably no one in the media who loves manufacturing and pushing hoaxes more than Jeffrey Goldberg. Goldberg is an anti-Trump
hater. See, now, this is not, let me just stop it here. This is not how I would handle it. I wouldn't handle it this way. I would just come out there and I'd say, look, we acknowledge that a mistake was made. It was an inadvertent mistake. The mission was successful. Everybody got home safe. We're learning from this. We're doing an in-depth analysis on Signal and the communications there. And we'll have more to say on this after our thorough review is over. And that's it. That's it. There's no upside to attacking the Atlantic or attacking Jeffrey Goldberg. Jeffrey Goldberg didn't find a way to break into the tech screw. Unless somebody's got some knowledge here that I don't have, he was added to this. Now, whether he was added to this by a staffer who was trying to undermine the Trump administration, he was added to it by a mistake if somebody clicked the wrong button, whatever it is. But just acknowledge that a mistake was made. An app that we thought was secure was not as secure as we thought it was. We're not going to use this app anymore. We're done using Signal. They were using it before. We're going to do something else. We're working on that right now. And we'll have more for you on this. But the key that everybody needs to understand is that the mission was successful. That's the end of it. That's the end of it. I don't know what else to say. You got to cut these things off. Otherwise, you're just going to keep going and going and going. And they're going to be more than happy to keep talking about this every day, all week. So, you know, my advice to them, not that they're asking for my advice, but my advice to them is you just say that. Take responsibility, blame the app for not being as secure as you thought it was, and say, we got a lot of other things to talk about here. The mission was successful. Let's move on. It's not like anybody was caught in those messages doing anything illegal or saying anything that was highly inappropriate. I mean, yeah, the use of emojis, because grown men should never use emojis. But I mean, I'm obviously being tongue in cheek about that. It's not as if anybody in that text exchange was talking about anything regarding violation of law, ethics, or anything. It was literally just the fact that a reporter was on the chat. So just make it about that. Yeah, we inadvertently added this guy to the chat. He inadvertently got added to the chat. We're figuring out how. Clearly, this method of communication among our top security officials is not what we're going to do going forward. And we've learned a valuable lesson here, and mission was a success. And we'll get back to you as far as, you know, what our detailed review of all this shows. You got the majority in the House. They're not going to open a congressional investigation into this anytime soon. And what is there to open a congressional investigation into? Then do an internal investigation into how Jeffrey Goldberg was added into this chat and find out, you know, was it some staffer sabotaging the administration? Was it just a careless mistake? There were other people on this chain besides just the names you keep hearing, like Gabbard and Hegseth and Waltz. So did one of them accidentally add him? All right, a mistake happened. We got to have a double redundancy going forward to make sure that everybody who's in the chat is supposed to be on the chat. We'll do a double secret probation verification method going forward. That's all. And end it. And move on and end it. And there's, because the more that you make this about Jeffrey Goldberg's lying or the Atlantic's lying or anything, all you're doing is just keeping the story going. And people don't care. Outside of the Beltway, no one cares. No one cares. They just want to know how their life's going to be affected by various economic policies, and that's what their concern is every day. So to that point, though, let me just share this with you. This is the president today announcing tariffs on auto manufacturers. This is what he said, and he said that they can just build their parts in America, and they'll be fine. Again, look. Whether you're a tariff guy or not, this is what he campaigned on. This is what he ran on. He got elected saying he was going to do these things. And he won. And he won every swing state, and he won the Electoral College, and he won the popular vote. He didn't hide this. It wasn't like he was out there on the campaign trail saying he was anti-tariff, got elected, and then turned around and said, time to do tariffs. So this is what the president said he was going to do. He got elected. Now he gets to do it. So whether you like tariffs or not, this should not come as a surprise. Yeah, I know people many people are upset, but what are you upset about? You knew he was going to do this. This is, he said so. He said as much. Now, is this going to be so that Europe lowers their tariff on American cars so that we have true reciprocity? Because that would be a great thing. Because if you're a European car maker right now, you're really nervous. If you're an American car dealership that sells European cars, you're very nervous right now. So is Europe then going to get rid of the tariffs they have on American cars, and then maybe this goes away? It's very possible. You know, Trump likes to do that. He likes to do that game. But this is what he said from the Oval Office today. Take a listen.
If parts are made in America and a car isn't, those parts are not going to be taxed or tariffed. And we'll have very strong policing as far as that's concerned. For the most part, I think it's going to lead cars to be made in one location. And right now, a car would be made here, sent to Canada, sent to Mexico, sent all over the place. It's ridiculous. So this is a very simple system. And the beauty of the 25, it's one number. It's not up or down, depending on the cost of the car. It's one number. And that number is going to be used to reduce debt greatly in the United States and to build things, reduce taxes. I mean, basically, I view it as reducing taxes and also reducing debt. And within a fairly short period of time, I think we're going to have a balance sheet that's going to be outstanding. Yeah.
That would be nice. Certainly would be nice if that's the case. We'll see where this goes. I mean, you know, I would imagine there's going to be a lot of phone calls tonight regarding this whole situation. And we'll see if something happens. But, you know, one of those car companies in America that is being attacked right now is Tesla. Big time. So our buddy Tom Elliott over at Grabian put together a supercut. He does these supercuts a lot. He does a great job with them. It's a supercut, which includes Jimmy Kimmel, Jasmine Crockett, Jamal Bowman, Michael Steele, Kara Swisher, Seth Moulton, Neera Tanden, Jake Tapper, Rachel Maddow, and John Cusack, among others. And I'm going to play that for you upon my return. The other thing, too, that I want to get to is that as we continue on the show here today, you know, the notion of Tesla violence being organized is something the president hinted at. Actually, before I go to break, let me play that. This is from his interview that he did. I believe it was last night, but it could be. I think it was last night with Greg Kelly. The Tesla violence could be organized. Cut number 9.
The Tesla violence. Have you heard anything about billionaires on the left, whether it's Soros or somebody else? Have you heard anything about planning, coordination, funding for these attacks?
I believe that is part of it. Yeah, there are some of them that were involved with my trials that were, I think, probably involved with that also. And, you know, Elon's done a very good job. He's found tremendous waste, fraud, and abuse, like levels you've never seen. People that don't show up to work and they get checks. I mean, so many different things that you can't even go over. It is so much. Done a great job. And he's basically a patriot. You know, he's in business, and I've gotten to know him primarily through the campaign. He endorsed me. I appreciated it. But I didn't know him very well before that, hardly at all. And he's essentially a patriot. He's a wonderful patriot. He loves the country. But he has never asked me, think of this, and he's got plenty of right to, I guess. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it. I probably won't.
No favor.
But he's never asked me for a favor. Not one time has he said, you know, as an example, I just got rid of the electric car mandate. You're actually allowed to go out and buy a gasoline-driven car or a hybrid or whatever you want, or electric. And he never came to me and said, could you do me a favor? Don't do that. You know, he's a legitimate guy, and he's doing this because it's for the good of the country. And we are finding hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud.
All right. When we get back, we'll play that. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, the master of implant dentistry. Go see him today for your perfect smile. You deserve a free implant consultation. VANARIA, VeneriaDental.com. It's our fourth and final hour. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah,
it's kind of nice.
It's depressing when you go into work with the sun out and then you leave work and the sun's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like this is a much better deal. I may throw on a winter jacket and a hat like Bernie Sanders with some mittens and take my scooter and sit on the driveway. I think it's chilly out, right?
It's like 43 degrees outside right now.
Yeah, screw that. When is spring? Like, this weather's so weird right now. It's going to be 80 degrees on Saturday, but it's, you know, we're in that weird place of fake Fugazi spring, you know?
it just doesn't know what it wants. Like, it's supposed to be nice pretty much all next week, but I think it's supposed to rain most of next week, too. So it's like the temperature's going to be nice,
yeah,
but it's going to be raining for a bunch of it, so we're not even going to get to enjoy it.
You're correct. Rain on Sunday, even though it's 70 degrees, and then rain on Monday, even though it's 73 degrees.
76 and sunny in Marathon, Florida.
It's 90 degrees in Scottsdale right now. I'll be enjoying that weather.
Yeah, you'll be going back to that. You'll be psyched till the summer when you hate it because you'll be baking.
The first week I was there last year when I initially moved, I think it was 112 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
It was horrible.
Yeah. But it's a dry hot, not a wet hot, right? Isn't that what they say?
I got to tell you, 112 degrees is pretty much uncomfortable no matter the humidity.
Yeah, hot is hot.
I had friends that invited me to go play pickleball, and I was thinking, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do any type of physical activity in 112-degree heat. And they assured me, don't worry, it'll cool down by the time the sun goes down, and we'll be able to get this pickleball game in. And it did cool down, but it was only to 100 degrees, and I was miserable.
Oh, my God. I'd rather stay in the house and just eat pickles than be outside.
Yeah, pickleball stinks, by the way. Not for me.
It's very, very trendy right now, pickleball.
I'm out. I didn't enjoy it.
Let's play the supercuts. We squeeze this in with Tom Elliott here. The libs, Tesla absolutely deserves the destruction that they're raining upon it. Cut number one.
Someone threw a Molotov cocktail at a Tesla service center. At least five Teslas blew up. When you pull out a chainsaw to celebrate firing thousands of people, they get mad. It's just that, you know.
Let's send these techno-fascist, broligarchs, and old-fashioned Nazis a message loud and clear.
The vandalism really shows the outright anger and rage that people are feeling about what Elon Musk is doing.
We should all be protesting in the streets about this and be incredibly angry.
It has taken the American people to go protest at Tesla to get the president's attention.
Try to dismantle the reputation of Tesla in hopes of hitting Elon Musk where it hurts.
He's incompetent. He's a thief. He's a Nazi.
Musk is a pathological liar. He's a criminal. He's a sociopath and a ghoul. He's literally killing people, but he should really enjoy taking this guy down.
And all I want to see happen on my birthday is for Elon to be taken down. Yes.
Elon Musk kind of turned out to be a I don't want to be driving a car built and designed by
If you drive a Tesla, please sell it. And if you own stock in Tesla, please dump it.
I've never wanted to buy a Tesla because I prefer to buy cars made by car companies, not computer companies.
I added Tesla to give me a little boost during the day. 225 and dropping.
Tesla's tanking right now, and I'm okay with that.
Tesla is a meme stock. It is one of the most wildly overinflated stock.
Tesla stock is way down. Please don't vandalize. Don't ever vandalize Tesla vehicles. And so
they're taking to the streets or the parking lots.
Tonight, the FBI and ATF now investigating multiple cases of possible arson.
Oh, you guys like petty acts of domestic terrorism, huh?
Camp Bondi piece is very disturbing to me, to hear her throwing around words like terrorist.
Is it appropriate to increase penalties? No, it's not.
Same thing with Pam Bondi. She's, you know, just stop that. It's a masquerade. This is just a ridiculous.
It actually goes on, but it's great job by Tom Elliott. You could see the whole thing on X, but I mean, you get the gist. The thing about this too, and I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime, there's going to be rallies this weekend in support of Tesla. So I've seen two, at least that I've found, that are happening, one in Pennsylvania, one in New Jersey. There's probably others too. Conservative groups, and they're pushing for a rally for people to come and help rally in support of Tesla. Scott Pressler's group, excuse me, Early Vote Action, they're going to be up in North Jersey this weekend for a support Tesla rally, and they're going to be registering people to vote as well. And then there's another one that somebody sent me that's happening in Warminster, PA, this coming weekend. So, yeah, that's what I mean. It's things you never thought you'd see in life. Conservative groups rallying in support of electric cars, right? You just like, one of those things, I know it's a stupid thing to say that I didn't have that on my bingo card, but you probably didn't have that on your bingo card. Stand with Tesla. We the people are thankful for Elon Musk and Doge. Peacefully join us in supporting / protecting our local Tesla dealership. Early vote action will be there, along with speakers and fellow patriots. That's going to be on Route 17 up in North Jersey this weekend in Paramus, New Jersey, on Saturday at 11 a.m. So that's what I mean. The strange times. The left is setting Teslas on fire, which is probably, at least in their warped mind, contributing to climate change. And conservative groups are out there rallying in support of an electric car maker. Crazy times indeed. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. All right, coming up, I'm very passionate about getting rid of NPR and PBS. I can't stand them. I talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but I want to go a little bit more into depth on this because this is a real good opportunity. They were in front of Congress today. So we're going to get into that before we close out the show today. And just a reminder, the big news is that the president has announced 25% tariffs on cars coming in from Europe and overseas, unless they build their cars or parts in America. So there'll be a lot more to say about that tomorrow, no doubt about that. But coming up, getting rid of NPR and PBS, it can be done. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Time for NPR to go. Good riddance to NPR. I say enough is enough. How about you? How you feeling on that, huh? As we get ready to wrap up the show for our fourth and final hour tonight. My glasses and moving all over. It's been a long day. What can I tell you? What a long day. The CEO of NPR. Can't find anything on my desk here either. The CEO of NPR today. She wanted to acknowledge mistakes were made. Mistakes were made. You don't say. Mistakes were made, huh? That's fascinating. I think we're all shocked by that, that mistakes were made. These are big mistakes that were made. These were major cover-ups of stories, like really serious cover-ups of things like the Hunter Biden laptop story and that COVID came from a laboratory in Wuhan, China, and not an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. Like, these were serious, real deal cover-ups by NPR. And Chris Rufo did a great job of exposing all this and just how NPR was all in the tank for this, because what they became is they became an organization designed to make sure that their audience, which is mostly progressive, upper income, white liberals, was happy. And that's what they did. And so they skewed stories towards them. Now that their funding's on the line, now that Trump wants to cut their funding, and he should, well, the CEO of NPR comes to Congress groveling today. Mistakes were made. Really? You think so?
First of all, I do want to say that NPR acknowledges that we were mistaken in failing to cover the Hunter Biden laptop story more aggressively and sooner. Our current editorial leadership
in Wuhan.
We recognize that we were reporting at the time, but we acknowledge that the new CIA evidence is worthy of coverage and have covered it.
Is worthy of coverage and have covered it. Well, that's really nice. That's sweet. That's very sweet that you've acknowledged that it's worthy of coverage. I mean, you're proud of that, right? That 180 that was done by NPR right there. The PBS CEO defends PBS as the one network that is determined to protect the American people. Public broadcasting service. Now, look, I have nothing against these networks, but if this is really the only network that's there to protect the American people, then the American people can cough up some cash privately if they want to, or they could sell ads like every other media entity in the world and then get sponsors and like we have to do, and then you'll have an audience there and you'll do just fine. If it's that vital to America's success and health and whatever other blah, blah, blah.
PBS stations provide something that cannot be found on commercial networks. This is because PBS stations are focused on the needs and interests of the viewers they serve, especially in rural areas. PBS stations are the only outlet providing coverage of local events. For example, high school sports, local history and culture content, candidate debates at every level of the election ballot, and specialized agricultural news. Local stations also partner with other community organizations to address issues of concern like veterans affairs and the opioid crisis. Finally, communities depend on the essential public safety information and emergency alerts our local stations provide.
No, we do all those things here on this radio station. I mean, all of our local radio stations do these things. I know that the show very often has a national flavor to it because we're covering the topics that are essential that you want to talk about. But I mean, obviously, we covered the special election in Pennsylvania earlier today. We talk about Jersey electricity races, but I mean, rates. So we cover it all. Do we get into the and some shows go more local than others do? I mean, Dom and Dawn do a fantastic job of keeping everybody informed locally what's happening. Dawn's news. So we do all those things, but we don't get any taxpayer funding for it. You know, I mean, if you can make it because you're giving out a good product, great. If you can't, well, and this whole thing about an emergency, like, well, you know, in the case of an emergency, who are you going to turn to? PBS? Like, freaking Big Bird? Big Bird's going to come and help me? It's like, stop. Here's a I said freaking, just for the record, okay? Just want to be very, very clear. It's late in the show, but I still, you know. This is Representative Brandon Gill. He's got the receipts for all the things that NPR, PBS, all the craziness that they pushed out over the years. Take a listen to this.
A few years ago, NPR educated America about, quote, the whole community of genderqueer dinosaur enthusiasts. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of tax dollars?
I was not at NPR at the time, sir.
That's not the question, though. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of our tax dollars?
I think our tax dollars that we use are to be able to provide a wide range of
perspectives. I'll take that as a yes. You do believe that that's appropriate. Your health advisor at NPR also stated in an interview that, quote, fear of fatness is more harmful than actual fat. Would you like to explain how fear of fatness is more harmful than actual fat? That's an editorial at NPR.
I am not familiar with the editorial, and I don't believe that was published during my time here.
It's called Diet Culture is Everywhere. Here's how to fight it. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars?
I think any reporting on health is an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars, yes.
And you think that editorializing that fat is not unhealthy is appropriate?
I don't know what that article is, sir, and I'm not familiar with it, so I couldn't say.
This is fake news. Do you think that basic accommodations like doorways or seatbelts represent, quote, latent fat phobia?
I don't have an opinion.
It's also from NPR. Do you think civility is racist?
Wait, by the way, I think doorways have always been fat phobic. My opinion, doorways, absolutely. No doubt about it. No question. Especially revolving doors. If you ever, you know what I mean, and you get stuck in one of those things, and you know what I mean? So, like, yeah, no, I'm with her on that. Doorways are incredibly fat phobic and racist. And also heightist. Heightist? Because, you know, if you're not very tall, they make you feel inferior. And if you're super tall, you got to duck. So let's just be clear. She's on the NPR's got something here with doors and doorways. Yeah, I walked through a doorway the other day. It was like 5 feet above my head. I felt like a tiny little person. Very, very hurtful inside. And I went through the revolving door at Fox News with my scooter, and I got stuck, and I felt like an idiot. So the doors are also that condescending. They're condescending, and they're pro able-bodied people. They're really for the able-bodied. You should do a story on that, I think.
No, sir.
No. Your outlet ran an article entitled, quote, when civility is used as a cudgel against people of color. That was on All Things Considered. Would you like to explain?
I'm not on the editorial side, sir. I'm not familiar with that story.
You talk about how NPR is news. This is editorialization, and I'll read it. For many people of color in the United States, civility isn't so much social lubricant as it is a vehicle for containing them, preventing social mobility, and preserving the status quo. This is garbage. I'll spend all of my time doing everything I can to ensure you guys never get another dollar of taxpayer funding. This is complete garbage. Thank you.
Bravo. Well said. Absolutely. Indeed. But, it, you know, it goes on, too. I mean, the CEO of NPR was asked a question about
you're a rabid progressive. Like, and do you not think it's a problem that your political leanings make it seem to the American people that.
Well, Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, guys. Go ahead.
That you're not biased and you're not doing your job, because you agree that your job is to have journalistic integrity, right?
Absolutely. But there is a strong firewall between the newsroom and anything that I
Let's talk about the newsroom. You have 87 registered Democrats, not a single Republican in your editor board. So, I mean, how does that work to give us the perception that you're doing your job of actually delivering unbiased information?
Well, I would agree with you that that number is a concern if it is accurate. I do believe that we need to have journalists who represent the full breadth of the American society so that we can report well for all Americans.
Well, I think that you are failing. I realize you've only been there for a year, but I just really think that while it is a small portion of your budget, you very much should expect to restructure your revenue streams, because I don't think that NPR is necessarily worth saving.
It's not worth saving. It's not. There's no need for it. I don't want to compete. Not that we really compete, but I don't really want to compete with NPR, because we have to serve our sponsors. And I appreciate you serving our sponsors, by the way. It's very, very important that you do. There's zero reason why we should be competing with NPR, National Public Radio. You know what I mean? And Chris Rufo did a great job exposing how 87% of their editorial board, just the editorial people, are, yeah, rabid lefty Democrats. So he exposed that for everybody. And, you know, now we can say definitively that that's what NPR is. It's who they are. So go out there and compete against who you really need to compete against, which is CNBC, MSNBC. That's who you're really competing against for people. You want to capture them in their cars? Well, then all these progressives who are driving the Subarus can send you checks, and you can send them an autographed copy of Les Miserables. I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? But Jasmine Crockett, oof. I mean, she's not having any of it. She's fired up today. Fired up, Jack. Let's take a listen.
About emergency management, and they don't care about free speech, all of which are harming American people. In fact, I'm going to skip off real quick because they have tried to come for you, Ms. Mayor. And I just want to clarify, you did not work for NPR when those statements were made, did you?
That is correct, Madam.
And to be clear, free speech is not about whatever it is that y'all want somebody to say. And the idea that you want to shut down everybody that is not Fox News, we need to stop playing, because that's what y'all are doing in here. You don't want to hear the opinions of anybody else. And the Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting or establishing of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging
the gentlewoman's time has expired.
Press.
The gentlewoman's time has expired.
About emergency
the gentlewoman's
management,
time has expired. Okay, you lunatic, you freaking nutbag. The gentlewoman's time has expired. So calm down. Back it up. We spent a lot today on the whole Signal issue, and I am ready for this story to go away finally. But two things that I wanted to just reiterate today, if you're driving home. First of all, President Trump is still standing by everybody. The top Democrat, Mark Warner, who's been whining about this, used that same app, Signal, to make contact with Christopher Steele, who was the author of the Steele dossier. Senator Warner bashed top Trump administration officials for using Signal to discuss plans for a strike on Houthis in Yemen. All right. And he was very, very upset about that. But the app was used by Senator Warner to reach former British spy Christopher Steele. This was reported by Fox in 2017. Signal worked great for Senator Warner when he wanted to meet with the disgraced liar Christopher Steele. It's a little surprising Warner is pretending to be so upset about it today, said a Republican senator leadership aide in a statement. Warner spokesperson Rachel Cohen said the fact that Fox News is in possession of these messages demonstrates exactly why Signal shouldn't be used to discuss classified national security material like war plans. Oh, but when it came to getting a dossier of unverified information about an American citizen who was running for president of the United States of America, and then use that information to go and spy on his campaign, then it's perfectly fine to use that app, right? Then you're not worried about anybody else getting their hands on that as you target an American citizen. Warner began corresponding on Signal with lobbyist Adam Waldman in March of 2017. Waldman texted Warner, writing, "Chris Steele asked me to call you." We'll call tomorrow. Be careful, the senator replied. The two had some difficulty connecting by phone, according to the messages. Later in the month, the senator pushed Waldman for direct access to Steele. Can you talk tomorrow to get with your English friend? Warner said in one message. I spoke to him. Yet, wait, you couldn't remember Steele? Like you, or are you speaking in code? Because you know what you're doing is sleazy, Senator. Your English friend, his name is Steele. How hard is that to remember? Chris, when the senator asked for an update on contact with Steele in April, the lobbyist said, yes, seems to have cold feet from the leaks. Said he wanted a bipartisan letter followed by written questions. So, you know, as you lose your mind about all this, this is under. And look, I think they've realized now they're not going to use Signal anymore. I think they've understood that. They've learned from that. But I got to tell you, the best moment today came when Joe Kernan reminded Mark Warner of all the failures of the Biden administration. And this is great. This is good stuff here. And I'll take a listen to this. This is yeah, go ahead.
You remember the Biden administration started with the biggest F-up in history with Afghanistan and 13 dead Americans. Let's not get too sanctimonious and high and mighty about screwing up, Senator. That's only 4 years. That's only 4 years, Senator.
I'm surprised, Joe. You're not going to throw in.
Yeah, I am. I just
Hillary servers. But let's, Joe.
She wiped that clean with a cloth, remember?
Acknowledge.
No, I do.
If the Houthis, the bombing was a success, God bless.
What about the blowfish?
Thank God, the person on the line wasn't an Iranian spy, and they could have given that to the Houthis, and that bombing success might have turned into something that cost American lives. At least,
but it didn't. But it didn't, you idiot. That's the point. All right, so they'll find another way to communicate. They'll get to the bottom of how this reporter was added to the chat. They'll figure this stuff out. But nobody got fired after Afghanistan. The withdrawal of Afghanistan, nobody got in trouble for that. Nobody got fired. Nobody got fired for the fact they didn't take the shot and kill that terrorist who wound up killing 13 people. Like, nobody got in trouble for that. We're talking about communications that a reporter was privy to and discussing plans to kill terrorists. Okay, it's not the end of the world that a reporter was added to this chat. It isn't. And you go, well, the Russians could have got it. Yeah, they could have, but they didn't. So they'll find another way to communicate, and let's just move on from this already. We're spending too much oxygen on this. Nothing bad happened, so just move on. They made a mistake. They added somebody to a chat who wasn't supposed to be here. They hit reply all to an email. It happens. All right, Fox Across America is next with Jimmy Failla, and I'll be back with you tomorrow, of course, 3 to 7. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.